Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning. What a privilege. One day I'm going to sit down and listen to that song, and I'm going to count how many thank yous it is in that song. My name is Charles Tate, Deacon Charles Tate, and I'm going to be your reader, teacher for the next so many minutes. Hope all of you all are doing well, because I know it's all good over here, because it's a privilege to sit here and look into God's Word and then talk about what's in here, and hopefully, each and every one of us will get something out of it. But right now, let's go before the Father in prayer. Lord God, our Father, you thank you. We thank you most of all, Father, for a long time ago, putting us in the position that we are right now. You see, the privilege that we received came because your Son, Jesus Christ, came down here and died on our behalf and opened the way so that everything would be made right with you and that we might get to spend forever with you. And see, Father, that's a privilege. Father, more than anything, we thank you for your promises, the different promises that go through your word, the things that you said you would do, because we know you don't break promises, and they're all through your word, Father. And we're going to talk about some of them this morning, Father, and for that, I thank you. Father, most of all, once again, we thank you for the privilege to call ourselves your children. You see, now we're not, even though we've been adopted by you, Father, we've been granted all the spiritual blessings, all the rights that goes along with being called not an adopted son, not an adopted daughter, but your son and your daughter. The privilege. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, this morning we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And last week, if I'm mistaken, we stopped at verse 7. But one thing I like to go back. And I want to go back to verse 5. And we're talking about in chapter 6, in the first this part, where Paul was going through hardships. In verse 5, it says that we have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Then 6 says, we prove ourselves by our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. 7 reads, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness, and the right hand for attack, and the left hand for defense. You know, when I was reading just yesterday, I wanted to go back to 5 so I would just touch on this and help somebody out there to understand. You know, the world that we're going through right now, the lives that we live for Christ, I want you to understand, no matter what your circumstances are, always remember that it's not as important as to what you do for God. You know, God can turn a bad situation into a good one. And when Paul was in jail, when he said he was locked up, when Paul was in jail, he would reach out to the Roman soldiers and talk to them about Christ. And at the same time, he would encourage other Christians who was going through persecution. You know, like, I like reading this because when it talks about persecution, they, like you said, he was beaten, went without food, all the things that he went through. And, you know, we get plenty of opportunities to be discouraged. We get indecisive about things. We get financial troubles, family situations, church things go on. And right now, a lot of people are being faced with the loss of their jobs with this pandemic going on. But what we have to remember is, like Paul did, no matter what we go through, and I know it's not easy, I promise you, I know it's not easy, but no matter what you go through, we have to just keep our eyes on the prize. You see, the same God that took care of Paul the writer of this letter, the same God is still in existence, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of us. I got to include me in there. He just will. He's going to take care of you. And sometimes when things seem to go really bad, just take a minute and encourage yourself. Because, see, even though it might seem like the situation is not going to improve, at the same time, you know, you grow in your faith and just trusting God and believing that no matter what goes on, no matter what the situation is here, you know, we like to recite that verse, my God can do, you know, my God can do exceeding abundant above all I ask or think. But no matter what the situation is in your life right now, trust and believe that God has you. God has you. Okay, now, let's move on to, we're going to jump over to verse 8. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. You know, today's world, we're not faced with very much difficulty in being able to express how we feel about Christ. At the same time, we come up against a lot of opposition in today's world as to whether or not Jesus is the right way. But what we have to come to understand is that, as like Paul was faced with being despised, like you said, people called us imposters. In verse 9, they say we are ignored even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. You know, having Jesus is having everything. You know, what a difference it makes to know Jesus, and it really does. If you're young in the faith, I just want to encourage you and help you to understand it. Just hold on to what you know. Hold on to what you believe. Hold on to Jesus, because as life goes on, you'll find out that life is not necessarily perfect, but he never promises that this life would be perfect. But if you just hold on to what you know, and that's what Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians right now to do, to just hold on to what you know. You know, Jesus cares for us in spite of what the world thinks. And we as Christians, we don't have to give in to public opinion, nor do we have to give in to the pressure. Whenever it gets tight for you, always remember that you, the God of creation, the Savior of the world, like I love it when Pastor Jonathan Tate called Jesus our elder brother, the Savior of the world is your elder brother. And I don't know any young child that has an older brother that the brother won't protect. I really don't. I have younger sisters, but that's a different story. But I don't know any young child that has an older sibling that the sibling won't do anything for. When you think about the fact that, like I said about being adopted, we're in the family of God, and Jesus got you. And Paul is really, like I said, trying to encourage these. He stood faithful to God, whether people praised him or slandered him. He remained joyous. I mean, when you read about him and Paul and Silas and Barnabas singing praises when they was locked up in the jails, I mean, that really took something. But see, we as believers can do the same thing. Like I said earlier, no matter what the situation is going on in your life right now, continue to sing praises to the Lord. Continue to give him praise and glory and honor. Continue to do the things that because he's worthy of all of our praise. Okay, let's see here. Let's move on to verse 11. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. Paul didn't mix words with these people. He didn't mix words with these people. Like you said, he spoke honestly with them. Now, I don't know if you ever been in a situation to where somebody has just, what you might have thought, talked harshly with you, to you, or said something that you really didn't like. You know, I'm gonna say this. My pastor, I don't want to say he's brutally honest, because he's not. He's loving, kind, a good man. But when it comes down to the word of God, he does not mix words. He doesn't. And he won't let mixed words be mixed. You know, we talk on a daily basis. If when I say something that's out of line, he'll check me on it. And he really will. He'll check me on it. And I appreciate that. When it first started happening, and just like anybody else, I used to say, who does he think he is? But when I began to absorb the word of God and came to find out, and like reading this chapter just over again, when Paul talked to these people, he talked to them as being led by Christ. The God that we serve loves us, but he doesn't mix words. He doesn't. When he said he'll do something, he'll do it. And when he asks, requires us to do something or tells us to do something, he means for us to do it. But you see, the not mixing of words is just the truth. And no matter what you do, you always have to be truthful. I know sometimes it's tough. I know sometimes when you're looking at somebody that you really love, you got to give them the truth. Because, see, the truth comes from God, and the truth is real. And it shows true love for somebody if you just be truthful with them. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but Madam President, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's not necessary. But Madam President, she's brutally honest about things. You know, she doesn't mix words. And if you got somebody in your life right that's a Christian, hold on to that person. Because, you see, that's a God-given. That's a God-given. And, you know, the Corinthians, you know, when we go on, there's, in verse 12 says, there's no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. Verse 13 says, I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. When I read this, it kind of hit home. Being a father. Because you see, when it says, I'm asking you to respond as if you were our own children, open your hearts to us. What we have to understand, if you have children, you can relate to what I'm talking about. It's not always easy to tell them what's right. It's not always easy to stop them when they're doing wrong. Their young lives, their middle lives, and their older lives. Because, you see, sometimes we love them so much, but if you really love them, like Paul is writing to this person right now, if you really love them, you will do everything you can to save them. You see, because it was love that caused Jesus to get on that cross. It was love. They called Jesus to go to the grave. It was love. You know, at any time at all, he could have got himself down off that cross, but he didn't. He stayed there just out of love. And we have to understand, especially in today's society, because I see it so much where we're just allowing our children to do whatever it is they want to do. If you really love them, you'll step in, no matter how much it hurts. and you'll tell them the right way to go. And see, Paul is asking them, I'm asking you to respond to us as if you are our own children, because you see, it might not, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to help you with this. It might not right away show any benefits, but later on, you might get it immediately, and it might come later on. But later on, that same child is going to come to you, and they're going to hug your neck, and they're going to tell you, thank you. Thank you. And we as Christians, we can't mix words. I'm just saying it again. We can't mix words. We have to, and that's what Paul was doing here. He just had to stay on task. He had to go head out and talk to people about Christ. But right now he had to slow these Corinthians down because they was being pulled back to that life that they had prior to Christ stepping in. Okay, let's keep it moving. Now we're going on to verse 14 reads as follows. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? That really there's not too much you can say about that, because it speaks for itself. How can righteousness be a part with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? When I read that light and that darkness, you think about Christ being the light and evil being dark. But we also know this. It says here that how can righteousness partner up with wickedness? Those two things just don't go together. And how can light live with darkness? You all know if you walk into a dark room and you hit that light switch and the light comes on, the darkness goes away. But those two things just cannot exist in the same place. You know, Paul was urging the believers not to team up, form partnerships with unbelievers, because what it does, it would weaken their Christian commitment. It'll challenge their integrity, and then it'll make you break down your standards. And, it says, in verse 15, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? We all know that these two things don't go together at all. I mean, when you talk about Christ and you talk about the devil, the one that tried to throw over heaven, them two things just don't go together at all. And it would be a mismatch. It would be just like, now I'm going to say this, today's fashion is a little different, but you put on a blue sock and a striped sock and you go outside. Those two things just don't go together. Light and darkness don't go together. Partnering up with unbelievers don't go together. And when I talk about partnering up, it consists of marriage. It can be on your job. It can be with a friend of yours that you know is doing wrong. But like, for instance, in marriage, being married to an unbeliever is not easy. I've really been blessed. I've been married twice. And the first marriage, she wasn't a believer, but before it was all said and done, she was. The second marriage, I was with a believer. Now, it wasn't easy. But at the same time, at least you have something in common. You see, we like to go into marriage thinking that, the love, the Eros love that we have, not the agape love for each other, that's enough. But it's not. Young woman, young man, especially to the young women, if you want to find a good husband, make sure, and I'm going to say this, it might not, somebody might not agree with this, somebody might not like it, but I really don't care. If you want to have a good husband, make sure that that young man has Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Because if not, all you doing, like my pastor likes to talk about, all you doing is getting a hood house. You're going to have all the good walls and everything, but ain't going to be no wiring, nothing else, or nothing that's going to work with you. And I'm going to say that. I'm old enough now to say that, so I'm going to tell you young folks, make sure that your husband or your wife is saved. Because the reason I'm going to tell you, the reason I'm saying this, because if they're not, now, us older folks can tell you, we've been in relationships sometime where the person wasn't saved, and a lot of times, what happens is that you start doing the things to please that person rather than doing the things to please God. And the next thing you know, you're in a mess. So save yourself the trouble. Get somebody to save. Get somebody that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Moving right along. Goodness. Let's see. Verse 16 says, "And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God." See, what we have to come to understand, I love when it said that we are the temple of the living God. God told David that he would never be able to build a temple because there would never be able to be anything that would hold him. What we have to understand is say we are the temples of the living God. That's the truth. God's spirit lives inside of us. He inhabits his people. When it goes on to say in the next verse, I will live in, and what union can there be between God's temple and God's idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from, well, that part right there, like I just told you, what you have to understand is God resides inside of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is in heaven, the Son went back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit lives inside each and every believer, and that's the Spirit of God himself. So what you need to recognize is that you are not just God's child, but he has taken up residence in you. And see, that's what Paul is telling them. Okay, look, you got this inside of you, but you're going back this other way or trying to, and that doesn't work. That's not how it's supposed to be. And when I talked about harsh words, Paul is just laying it out for him plain. It's just simply not how it's supposed to be. When it talks about in 17, therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And then in 18 it says, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, said the God, Lord God Almighty. You know, we have to understand this, people. Separation of the world involves more than keeping distance from sinful practices. It means staying close to God, and involves more than avoiding worldly entertainment. It extends to how we spend our time and our money. There is no way to separate ourselves totally from all sinful influence. Nevertheless, we are to resist the sin around us without either giving up or giving in. When you know what God wants you to do, make a clean break with sinful practices. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And always remember this, people, if you don't remember nothing else I said today, when the Lord says, I will live in them and walk among them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, like I said, wants to take up residence in each and every believer. He already has. When you accepted him as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he moved in. So always remember that. Always remember that. You are not just God's child. He lives inside of you. So everything that you do, everywhere that you go, every word that comes out of your mouth, when we say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, remember, he's always with you. But this same God, he promised you, he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And he'd always be with you. So no matter what the circumstances go on, you always remember not just who you are, but whose you are. We're going to close it off right there. Let's see.
Okay.
And I guess we'll move on to chapter 7. Kathy, you with me?
Yes, sir, I am. Good lesson, good lesson. You said continue to give the Lord glory, honor, and praise, and for the telling the truth. The truth is good. My dad used to always say, just give me the facts. So you know the facts are the truth. That's all you wanted to hear was the facts. Yeah, so that was a very, very good lesson. Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here.
Go ahead and pray us out. You got it? You
right.
Want to pray us out? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, we are going to have a song. And then we'll see you on the other side, okay? Thank you, Deacon Tate.
This is your come and dwell here, O mighty God.
Amen. This is your house, Lord, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Kleiber, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. I will be reading for your hearing scripture from Colossians 3, 1 through 15. That's Colossians 3, 1 through 15. Here reads the Word of God. It is titled, Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights high on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new mature. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That is so refreshing. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick, the shut-in, and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear kind Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Lord, we are thoroughly grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed, and in due time God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world and to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is faithful to perform. You ought to encourage somebody. Show your name. He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is faithful,
faithful
and great. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture. Greatness exceeding abundantly more than we can imagine. But let me assure you that it's great, and our God is faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, you're great. Yes,
show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape. Feel me.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
Just know he has his hand on you.
If we could play verse of that song and understand that hands on us and you won't let go, since we invited you to our hearts and lives whenever we did. For me, it was age 10 when I invited you into my heart and my life. And even before then, you kept me, you protected me. You surrounded me in a Bible-based church, in a Bible-based family, and I thank you. You've been so good to me. I don't have a reason not to have faith in you or to be loyal to you or to love you in action. You first loved me. And I say thank you for your presence, for your love, for your consistency. You're just awesome in everything that you do. There were times, Lord, when I didn't see the light. Times when days seemed dark and gloomy all day, every day. But you allowed me to continue to hold your hand and to walk with me. And you allowed me to walk with you through this life. And you always provided some sense of calm and peace in the storm. We don't have to be so formal with you. I remember a time when I prayed the prayer, Lord, help me. And immediately you sent the ram in the bush. You sent my friend, and he pulled up next to me and said, what's going on? And all I said was, Lord, help me. Help us to stop being so fake with you and so formal and trying to be so eloquent when we talk to you. Help us to just kick it with you and say, Father, I'm having a rough day and I need your direction. Or Father, I got a bill I can't pay. Or Father, these kids get on my last nerve. Help me to guide them. Help me to direct them. Help us, Lord, to talk to you like we would talk to our best friends. Help us to come to you as we would go to our mother or our father. Because you're all that. We don't have to be somebody that we're not. We were fearfully and wonderfully made because of you and because of your presence in our lives. We thank you for our next breath. We thank you for our heartbeat. We thank you for our sight, our hearing, our health. We thank you for everything that you provided and that you continue to provide. If you do nothing else for us, you've done more than enough. We thank you, Lord, for the word that the speaker has for us. We thank you for Pastor O. We thank you for Sheila. We thank you for Runner for Christ and for each and every one that's a part of this ministry and this broadcast all around the world. I sincerely give thanks for each and every one. We thank you, Father, for everything. We love you. And we're going to grow in our love and respect for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, give a long to Jesus when you say, I belong to you. I give you my. I give myself.
Come on, can we say that all over this room? Say,
my life.
Again, my life is not my own.
I give myself.
Come on, with your hands lifted high all over this room. Come on, tell them again. Say,
my life.
Sing, I belong. My
life's not my own.
You are the Lord. I need your voice. Come on, lift up your voice and say it again. I belong. Say it again from your heart.
Belong to you. Hear our prayer, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for praying and making our request known to God. Have a great and marvelous day. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday or Sunday, by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. Icing on the cake, the best part. The next voice you will hear after this song selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of our is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she come in her own way. Amen.
I'm a blank canvas, you can write on my heart. I know whatever you do, it's gonna be a work of art. It's gonna be beautiful, even if it is graffiti. Cause you can turn a mess into a masterpiece. On my last CD, I painted everything all red. Now I got all these colors going through my head. Maybe it's because my old ways are dead. Old skin had to be shed. Oh yeah.
Take a look at me. Take a look at me. Take a look at me.
same person dipping in the tears I cried. Paint over all my wrongs and make them right. I know my journey has been by your design. All I gotta do is follow the signs. You can paint over my life like a Picasso. Make music with my life like a piano. Now I'm showing your glory everywhere I go. And everyone will know. What you got, you can mess around and give it away for free. When you don't know the value of a gift, you can mess it all up like me. It's funny how everybody else can see what you don't see. Maybe you're too close, cause from here it's a masterpiece. See, God can take your dirt, turn it into clay. Make something beautiful, then he can put you on display. Right in front of your enemy, you'll be eating that steak. You'll be like, give me that masterpiece, put it right here on my plate. God knows what he's doing for you and you gotta trust his word. And when you're going through the process like a tattoo, you'll be like, that hurts. When God's done, it's gonna be flawless, everything according to his will. You see, he's the master artist, best of you be still.
That's played beautiful me. Don't think that's what you started in me. And my life will be a masterpiece.
Amen, a masterpiece. I'm looking at a masterpiece right now. I am broadcasting from Ballinger Park in River Rouge, and I see trees and grass and water. And the thing that we all have to remember, whether you're in your house, whether you're outside, whether you're at work, God is with you. Never forget that. And God has prepared our pastor with a message just for us. His subject today will be Jesus is working on me. He's asked me to read Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It is written, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Are you really convinced that you are blessed, my brothers and sisters? I hope so. Just bask in the word I just read. The word that stuck out to me is belong. It says that as God's holy people, we belong to Christ. Then there's that bit about grace, peace, and joy. Yes, we are truly and abundantly blessed people of God. No matter how things may look for you this morning, no matter what degree of desperation sent you running to this service, you are blessed right now. And with God, it only gets better. There are so many more blessings God has in store for you starting right now. At this very moment, we are blessed because God has given Pastor Gerald Overall a message about how God, the one who began a good work in us, is still right now doing so. Pastor O, we thank you for accepting the mantle of God. Consistent with 1 Peter chapter 4, the gift he has given to you of speaking, we appreciate you. that you speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Thank you in advance for the blessing of preaching we receive from God through your obedience. And so right now, we just ask one more thing of you as everyone repeats this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Hey, man. Thank you, Deacon June Rogers. Appreciate you. And you know I'm going to say it. Tell my boy, Dr. Rayfield Rogers. I ain't going to say his name. Tell him I said, hey.
All right. Well, right now he's making a wish. Somebody real sick that wanted to get out there on the water, and he's out there, and I'm with the other part of the family. So I'll send those blessings on.
All right, then. See, blessings on blessings on blessings. Deacon Eric Reed gave me that song from Andrew Brown. Blessings on blessings. That's what that's called. Keep up the good work.
Amen. God bless.
Hey, man, it's an awesome thing, this Blog Talk Radio. We can be everywhere and still, you know, the Lord's given us an opportunity to see what it's like to be him. We everywhere present, amen, but not at once, but we everywhere, but we're still all here present on Blog Talk Radio, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We praise your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity to preach your word again, to hear from you, to literally hear from heaven. And we thank you, Father, that you sent the word, Jesus, to the Holy Spirit who's going to preach it through me to your people. We love you, Lord, and we know that you love us. And so we just say thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so I hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to have your word work on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That is what transforms us. That's what Romans tells us. It's the word of God that transforms us, and it's that word that Jesus, amen, is working on us. Amen, that same word. Thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in today. And again, I want to talk to you today about Jesus is working on us. He's working on me. He's working on you. He's working on all of us. Now, right from the outset, that means I'm not working on you and you ain't working on me. Amen? I'm going to let you hold that for a minute. Not a whole minute. I'm back. Amen? I'm not working on you and you're not working on me. Jesus is working on us all. You know, the book of Philippians, amen, is a deep book. Because when you really do some investigation, what you're going to find out is that Paul planted this church on his second missionary journey. He had to take Silas with him because him and Barnabas wasn't, you know, kind of feeling each other after that first one. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Paul wasn't feeling it because Mark didn't stay with them the whole time when they were on that first missionary journey. So they separated. You know how God does. We look at things as a disaster, but the Lord got two things out of one. He got Paul and Silas going back on that second missionary journey to Europe, what we call Europe today. And he got Barnabas and John Mark. They went back to Cyprus. Amen. Went two different ways. God bless. Got more out of it. Amen. So he planted this church in about A.D. 54, about A.D. somewhere between 49 and 50. And the reason we know that is because it was founded on his second missionary journey, and we know that the Apostolic Council in the book of Acts, chapter 15, happened around A.D. 49 to 50, okay? That was a very important council because in that council they were going to set down for all time how it is we're made right with God. There were some Jews who used to be Pharisees who had become Christians, but you know how it is. We try to bring that old stuff with us. And so they brought some of that old stuff with them, and they said, no. If they want to become Christians, they need to accept Judaism first. That means become a proselyte to Judaism, circumcision, the whole nine yards, okay? And then accept Christ, now you're a Christian. Well, of course, Paul and Barnabas, who had been on a three-year journey, okay, 1,400 miles, telling everybody you just need Jesus. Well, they came into sharp contention about that thing. And notice this, the devil tried to jump in and mess up salvation right from the beginning. Right when salvation was going to take off and go around the world, here come the devil talking about, oh, no, you got to be religious. Oh, no, you got to do these works. Oh, no, you of yourself got to please God and accept Christ. Of course, amen, it's either Jesus alone or nothing, right? But the devil wanted to add something. Be careful when you get around somebody and they're trying to add some sort of religiosity to your walk with Jesus or your relationship with God. Tell you, you got to speak in tongues or you ain't saved. Tell you, you got to do pay indulgences. Or you have to do penance or you ain't saved. All those are lies. Amen. All those are lies. The Lord God himself preached the first message. He said that he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever just do what? Believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. So they got the message straight, and then Paul and them sets out, we believe, you'll find it in Acts chapter 14, 13 and 14, 13, 48 really is where it begins. They decided to go ahead and back and check out some of the churches. I told you they had to split up, but they went, okay? And that is when they founded the church in Philippi. And some scholars believe that the church in Philippi was the first above-ground Christian church in Europe. Amen? Now, if you look at the time that is planted in the AD 50s, we'll just say that, who comes to power in AD 54? Because this book is a strange book. The subject of this book is strange. The attitude of this book is strange. It just seems like something else would have been written at a time like this. Because at this time, around AD 54 to 68, your boy Nero came to the throne. And if you went to high school and you paid any kind of attention in history class, you heard about how Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Okay? What happened was, some scholars believe, historians believe, like the Roman writer, the Roman historian Tacitus, records that a fire broke out in Rome, and it burned for 9 to 10 days. The reason for it, some believe, was Nero wanted to burn out some land so he could, you know, develop it. But the fire got out of control. And, of course, most of the folks in the populace already did not like their Roman leader, didn't think well of him, right? And many in the populace were starting to blame him for what was going on. The fire itself, and rather than blaming him, he turned to the new group, the group that was already popularly hated, and they were the Christians. Christianity at this time around AD 61, when Paul is writing this letter, that's what time it is, and around AD 61, Christianity is no longer viewed by the Romans as a subsidiary of Judaism. They are now their own standalone religion, and because of their Christian practices like no emperor worship, we will not come out and celebrate when all your gods are celebrating, and plus there were rumors going around saying Christians grind up their babies and cook them in loaves of bread, and plus they antisocial, they funny acting. When we out here celebrating our gods, they don't want to come out and play with the gods, as it were. So they became popularly hated. It's called popular antagonism, okay? So at the time that Paul is writing this in AD 61, he is literally chained to a Roman guard, amen? But the tone of the letter is joy. The tone of the letter is celebration. The tone of the letter is Jesus is lifted up. But the actual events going on in time are horrible for Christians. You may not have heard about, you know, Christians sought to win Rome over. That was their big thing. We want to win Rome over. And so Paul is going all over the Roman Empire preaching. And now he's come to Rome. He's been arrested. Well, you know how he got to Rome. We all know he got arrested in Acts 23, and they kept throwing up false charges all the way up to Caesar. But because he appealed to Caesar, he literally had to go to Caesar. Okay, now you're wondering, what does all this have to do with God is working on me? You will get there. Don't worry about it. Amen. So he literally goes to Caesar. But if you notice and you paid attention to all of the courts that Paul went to before he got to Caesar, they never held any charges against him. They never found him guilty of anything. What they didn't find was anything that violated the Pax Romana. The Romans had built a super sophisticated system of taxation, and they instituted what's called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, to protect that institution of taxation. So as long as you didn't do anything to upset the revenue flow to the Roman treasuries, okay, or coffers, then they would pretty much didn't care if you worshiped the moon. They didn't care. As long as you throw a little worship toward the emperor, they didn't care. Okay? So if you didn't violate the Pax Romana, you were pretty good with Rome. But now here are these Christians. Here are these antisocial Christians who won't come out and play with us. Here are these anti-Christians when we ask them to come on and celebrate our patron God or patron saint, they tell us, no, I'm good. Okay, so Christians at this time became hated. And so Paul, literally, like I said, chained to a Roman guard, is writing this letter, amen, to Christians who are facing persecution. Now, the Roman historian Tacitus described, and I'm just going to say it, amen, in my book, The Church That Jesus Built, you'll see where a lot of the information that we have about what happened to Paul, because see, none of this is in the Bible. Amen. You ever notice that? It is not the only, we got Stephen's death in the Bible, and we have James' death, John's brother, in the Bible. This one of the sons of Zebedee. Outside of that, nobody. We don't know how Peter died unless you go to the Roman historians. We don't know how Paul died unless you go to the historians. And see, they had no dog in the fight. They did not love Christians. So what they wrote about Christians, okay, they wrote it in a way where they were trying to show the Roman populace how awesome Rome was. Okay, so they had no reason to write anything but the truth about how Christians were being treated at that time. Now, remember this, Paul is writing to them, and this book has no condemnations in it for the Christians. This book is a book of encouragement. This book is a book of joy. This book is a book that tells you to hold on. It starts right from the beginning. Okay, we belong to Christ. We have that cherished shalom, that grace, and that peace. Amen. Those very words that Deaconess June Rogers centered on are the very words that's holding this whole sermon together. But again, it's at this time when Christians are being used as torches at night. You know what they did? They would take one of the Greek punishments and impale them on a pole. Imagine a tall pencil being sharpened at the tip, and then they just take it and run it through your body. And then they wrap you up in rags, and then they soak you in oil, and then they erect you along the road as a nightlight. They were lighting Christians. They would take Christians and put them in an arena and make them fight gladiators for the entertainment of the masses. They would take Christians and wrap them in animal skins and make them fight the lions. Okay, they would take Christians and they would put them on this table that they called, they would draw and quarter them. They would take Christians and they would cut off one appendage at a time to get them to deny Christ. This is what's going on in the Roman world. This is what's happening to Christianity at this time. And what does Paul say? I'm writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ, including the church deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you cherish, grace, and peace. Amen. In a time when everything is in an uproar, it's pretty much like the times we're living in today. But let me tell you something. The book of Romans says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So all of these things that's going on, losing your job, money getting low, family getting funny. You have to be around that spouse now for 8 hours when you used to get 8 hours away from them. And now you find it hard to be. In spite of all these things going on, guess what? The Lord is working on us. God is you. God will take whatever he needs to. He can. What the devil intends for us for evil, well, God remits that thing just like he did for Joseph. Joseph told his brothers who were scared to death that he was going to take vengeance on them. Joseph told his brothers the truth. What you did, you meant for evil. But what God did is he re-meant it for good. Okay? God allowed you and your evil to get me here. But then God lifted me up and raised me up because I'm here to use me to save many lives, as Joseph told them, as it is today. Amen. So the Lord will take these bad times we're going through. See, that's why we have to get to the place, to that point in our faith and our walk with the Lord where Paul and Silas was. They were sitting in a Philippian jail. Amen. When they first went to Philippi, okay, on that second missionary journey, they ran into a lady named Lydia. She was a seller of purple. She was a wealthy lady, probably a Greek because she was not married. And she owned property in Philippi, and she owned property in Thyatira, whatever you want to call it, amen. Paul hooked up with her because they was down there talking about Jesus and having prayer meetings, and she came to one of the prayer meetings, her and her whole crew got saved. So she told Paul, if you believe that I'm a Christian, then come stay at my house. Okay, so Paul went, him and his whole entourage, and they stayed at her house. Well, one day they was going back to the place where they was having church at, and for many days we find out there was this girl. And this girl, she would come up on them. I want you to see how God going to take a horrible time and make it work for their good, for everybody's good, not just Paul and Silas, but everybody's good. So this girl was following them behind, and it's going to sound like she was trying to help them out, but actually she was mocking them. She said it this way, "These are the men of God, and they've come to show us the way to be saved." When you read it in the Bible, you don't hear it like that. But when you watch it on the DVD, the Book of Acts, oh, you get a chance to see why Paul got so upset with her. Well, Paul says this had happened for many days. And so when he had enough, he turned to the demon in her. Uh-oh, watch out. We still fighting and wrestling against flesh and blood. But Paul didn't wrestle against that girl. He turned and rebuked the demon that was in her. And once the demon was gone, girl was cool. But the owners of the girl weren't. She was a slave girl. She was owned by somebody. And the demon that was in her was good at predicting the future and made a whole lot of money for her masters. But when Paul and them rebuked that demon and cast that demon out of her, well, their fortune-telling machine was broke. So they literally went to the city officials and told them, this man here, they went to the city officials and trumped up a charge. The devil, something else. He won't never tell the truth. He could have went there and said, they broke my fortune telling machine. Now I can't get paid. But that's not what they said. They went and said that these men are teaching and preaching foreign customs that are not even legal for us Romans to observe. And so without any question, without any investigation, without any rights at all, they were thrown in jail. And because the jailer was charged to make sure they don't escape. I don't know what they were planning to do with Paul and them the next day, but they said make sure they don't escape. So he put them in the inner jail, in the dungeon, in solitary. And not just put them in solitary, but chained their hands to the wall and put their feet in the stocks to make sure that they would be there the next day. Now, I don't know if they heard, amen, when Peter and them got locked up those two times. And both times the angel of God showed up and let them out of jail. So I don't know if they heard that and they trying to make sure that don't happen here, but let me tell you something. Paul and Silas rather than dropping their head between the locks of their arms or their shoulders, okay, and start moaning and groaning. Y'all know how we do when we get to going through something. See, that's when you need to recognize God working on me. Amen. Either I have the faith to get through this and I need to know that, or I don't have the faith to get through this and I need to grow that. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is working on you, and look at your neighbor and say, Jesus don't go to sleep. So Jesus be working on me in my dreams. He will use my dreams to teach me how to live for God. That is the work. Jesus is in us, turning us into him. That is the goal, to be like Christ. Ernest Pugh said it like that, more of him and less of me is what I need. And that's what God wants for us. It's what what Assistant Pastor Janice Tate taught us. It's a word called Zoe. It's called the Zoe life. And it's the life that God intended for us to have before that garden thing happened. Because y'all know what happened in the garden. We fell off. Amen. Big time. We fell all the way off. But the Lord brought us back. Amen. And when we get born again, we're like little kids. Amen. We need to grow up. We need to let the Lord, you know how parents go to working on them kids, trying to teach them this and trying to teach them that so they can grow up and become who they are. Amen. That's what the Lord is doing with us. See, Paul and Silas sat in that Philippian jail, tore up from the floor, feet fastened in the stocks. They ain't come get them to go to the bathroom. We don't need no read about that. They don't read where they got anything to eat. They were just left there till the next day. Okay, so you can imagine what that situation was like. But the Lord had been doing some work on Paul. The Lord had been doing some work on Silas. And how can I tell? Because it showed up in their praise. Amen. You can tell when Jesus working on somebody, and you can tell where they at in Jesus when something happened. Oh, it's going to tell the truth. You can put that fake face up all you want to. You heard Pastor Jonathan Tate in his prayer saying, Lord, help us to be. He was so nice. Amen. He's so nice. Lord, help us to be real with you. Help us to not fake pray. Help us to not get with all of this and wow and Jesus, you, and all that stuff. We don't talk like that. You don't go to the grocery store. Get real. That's what the Lord is saying. Get real. And see, Paul and Silas had to get real in that jail. Amen. They had gone through some stuff with the Lord. That's why Paul says, I believe. Amen. You need to go read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, and then go read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 before you read Philippians chapter 4, because when you read Philippians chapter 4, you read chapter 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 6 and 7, you'll see how Paul could say them things over there that he says in Philippians chapter 4. Amen, because he had been through some stuff, but that stuff didn't come to destroy him. Like I told you about Joseph, what his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. So the Lord keeps his word, according to Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for the good, and we've got to believe that. I know it's hard to see how in the world is somebody on a cross going to turn out good. It's hard to see how somebody in a Philippian jail situation like I've described to you about Paul and Silas, how that's going to turn out good. You know what happened? Well, they got the praise of the Lord so hard in there that they praised tore up the jail. The jail got tore up, but nobody in the jail got tore up. Everybody's chains fell off, and guess what else happened? Everybody got saved, and the jailer come running out there. He thought they done escaped. Remember, he put them in the dungeon so they wouldn't, but that plan didn't work. He thought they was going to escape. It's suicide time. But Paul said, don't hurt yourself. See, we all here. And guess what? The jailer got saved. His whole family got saved. All this happened in the middle of the night. Started at 12 midnight. At midnight, they sang praises to God. By morning, everybody around them was saved. Now, watch God. He ain't through. This thing ain't worked out together for their good yet. Amen. He'd make the city officials come and escort them out of town. They tried to just let them leave without nobody seeing it. Okay, we know we threw y'all in jail. We ain't charged y'all or nothing. We just violated the Roman. And they didn't know Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul, bring that out. You in trouble. Because no Roman could be just thrown in jail. They had to have a case. That's why Paul, rather unlike Peter, now, he appealed to Caesar. Why? Because he was born a Roman citizenship. We don't know how he got that citizenship, but boy, when he mentioned that he was a Roman citizen, oh, they got scared to death. You done locked me up and thrown me out in jail without a trial. You need to come escort me out of town. And they did. They came and escorted them out of town. So what seemed to be a disaster turned out that God was using it. See, because look, y'all, stuff going to happen to us. We're going to go through some things. But did you hear what I just said? We're going to go through some things. If our faith is right. Now, look, how are you going to go through it? Look, Jesus got in the boat one time with his disciples. And Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So they started out. Everything was cool. But then all of a sudden, a storm come out of nowhere. Jesus had them pulled up a cushion, made a pillow, and went to sleep. Why? Because he said, let us go to the other side. I believe that was about a two-hour trip. He was going to catch him a nap. But his disciples stayed woke. Because, see, they was fishermen. They was out there on the Sea of Galilee all the time, and some of them weren't fishermen, so you know they're probably hanging their head over the side of the boat and turned completely green, and it got crazy out there. And so the disciples are trying to fight the storm. The disciples are trying to fight the waves. The disciples are trying to fight the wind. And then when they see ain't none of that working, ain't that how we do? Before we call on Jesus, we go to doing it ourselves. When we see we in an impossible situation, you can't stop no wind. You can't stop no waves. You can't turn this storm off. But here you are with a bucket trying to unload the boat from water. And here you, the other one's probably roaring like crazy. And then the other one just holding on to a part of the ship. It's like, wake up, Jesus. Wake up, Jesus. We act like that sometimes. But we need to be still, amen, and know. And remember the word of God. See, Jesus is going to give us an opportunity to learn that word. This word you're hearing right now, you're going to be tested on it. But guess what? Here's the trick. You ain't going to recognize the test till you pass or fail it. You will not know until you pass or fail it. Why? Because Jesus is working on you. He's working on us. So he allows them storms to come. Now, after they fought the storm long enough, and had no success in stopping it at all. They ain't pushed no waves down. They ain't pushed no wind back. They didn't turn off the storm. So now they mad. Amen. There, if you read what they said, you could tell they was mad. I love it when you read it from the King James Version. The King James Version says they went over to Jesus and woke him up. That means somebody shook him. Because Jesus could sleep real hard. He in his boat, the storm gone, he's knocked out. He ain't even woke up. The waves ain't woke him up. The wind ain't woke him up. The falling rain ain't woke him up. The storm don't mean nothing to him. He's sleeping. Why? Let us go to the other side. See, that's why you need to know God's word, remember God's word, act on God's word. Ain't that what James said over there in James chapter 1? He said, if we look intently into the law that gives freedom, the word of God, and we continue in it, and watch this, we don't forget what we heard, now it gets better, and we do it, then we'll be blessed in what we do. That's what Jesus was doing. He heard the word, let us go to the other side. Okay, he continued in the word, pulled up a cushion and went to sleep. Amen. He didn't forget the word, so he stayed asleep, and then he did the word. He rests, he was in that, what Deaconess June Rogers talked about, he rested in that grace and that peace. Why? Because he knew he belonged to God. See, you need to read that word, get it in you, get it in you, get it in you. Why? So when the storms pop up, you will say, hey, wait a minute. This is God working on us. Amen. He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us in the midst of a storm, we can be at peace. We can even go to sleep like Jesus. I'm telling you, the Lord is working on you. All things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. Jesus woke up. Because listen to what they said to Jesus. They're going to crack you up. They said, Lord, they went over there. They woke him up. And once they knew Jesus was woke, they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever felt like God don't even care what you're going through? He don't even care. You cry to snot all the way down to your feet like the oil that ran down on Aaron's head all down his beard, all over his clothes. You got snot all over the place. Jesus ain't even paying no attention. You ever feel like that? Sometimes we'll do that, and then we get mad, and we go to Jesus mad like they did. So they went to Jesus mad, and they said, Lord, you don't even care what we're going through. You don't even care. And now watch this. Then they came to a conclusion, and we woke you up just to let you sleep in Jesus. We woke you up just to let you know, sleep in Jesus, that we finna perish. Boom. Jesus just looked at them. And not one of them remembered the word. Amen. God's going to use his word to turn you into who you're going to be forever. So if you avoid God's word, you're avoiding becoming who you're going to be forever, and you're stuck being who you're only going to be temporarily. Oh, somebody just got real blessed. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, somebody just got real blessed. Amen. Do you want to stay temporary you? Well, then just keep on doing things the way you did before you got saved. But do you want to become eternal you? Well, start reading the word of God that can give you eternal life. Help you to understand that life. Help you to live that life. Help you to sit in the Philippian jail and sing praises to God at midnight. Help you under the weight of stones that the devil is throwing at you to kill you and say, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. That was your boy, Stephen, talking about somebody growing up. Amen. The Lord working on you. The Lord working on me. He working on us, y'all. And we think God ain't working on. Look, the Lord takes it as an opportunity. When the devil come to him and say, you know, I want to go down there and do this to so-and-so, like he did with Job. If you let me go down there and do this to so-and-so, he'll curse you to your face. God going to look at you. He going to look at the faith you got or the faith you should have. And that's going to determine whether he lets the devil come at you or not. Amen. And don't mess around. When the devil come, he coming to get you. Because God gave Adam the word. He ain't hear from a preacher. He ain't hear from a Bible teacher. God gave Adam the word. Don't eat from that tree. Not even a long word. It wasn't even 66 books. Don't eat from that tree. And then here come the devil. See, when the Lord give you a word, here come the devil. Amen. Oh, he giving you a word today. Here come the devil. Amen. He probably done got some people during the service. Amen. Amen. So when the devil went at Adam, Adam knew the word, but Adam kind of wanted what the devil was talking about. Adam wanted to be out from under the authority of God. And then Adam wanted to be like God. Ain't that just like the devil? Hate God. But then I believe it's in Isaiah where he says, I shall be like the Most High. I shall this, I shall that, but all of it was like the Most High. But you hate the Most High. Amen. Adam went for what the devil was talking about. Amen. He wanted to be like God. And he was willing to believe God was a liar. So when you get a word from the Lord, you can expect the devil to show up. See, Job had a word, and the devil showed up because the devil challenged Job's relationship with God, his adherence to God. If you let me go down there and take everything, what the devil got to do? What do you got to come take from you to make you cuss Jesus out? He put the disciples in a storm in a boat, and they forgot. They woke Jesus up talking about, you don't even care about me. Have you ever felt like that? Amen. Amen. The Lord is working on us, y'all. And he's trying to turn us into who we're going to be forever. But we can't fight him. Amen. And the way we fight God is to not get involved in the word. See, it's the word of God, Romans chapter 12, tells us that's going to transform us. You heard Deaconess Kathy Clyburn this morning reading about the new life. That's in Colossians chapter 3, I believe, the new life. That is the life that we are supposed to be living, the new life. Out with the old, in with the new. Jesus says it like this. Deny yourself. Take up my word, the cross, and follow it. Follow me. That means following the word. And don't get it in your head that just because you're following the word, the devil not going to show up. Amen. I love how Paul says it. I'm certain that God who began the good work in you, amen, God began working on you even before you got saved. I can't tell you how many times I've said to the Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, you saw that? You knew that? And then he showed me every single time I got ready to sin, that nervousness, that sweaty palm, that anxiety, that was him telling me not to do it. That was the feeling of fear. That is what's called the argument from the anthropological argument in favor of God. And what that simply means is God gave us a conscience. And if we could, we'd sear it with a hot iron real quick. Why? Because our conscience always betrays us. Our conscience, when we want to do wrong, we get sweaty. When we want to do wrong, we get anxious. When we want to do wrong, we get butterflies. How many of folks like that? When we try to tell lies, our face looks funny. Our emotions don't match what's coming out of our mouth, amen? So it betrays us. And we don't like it. But God gave it to us. He put in a sense of right and wrong in us. Even little babies got it. How many times have you seen a little baby get ready to do something, turn back and look at you? Know they finna do wrong. Hear you say don't do that. And then just go straight Adam and Eve and do it. The Lord is working on us, y'all. He's trying to turn us into who we're going to be forever. And guess what? You can go to church every Sunday. You can quit going to church. You can become a prodigal son. You can be the lost coin. You can be the lost sheep. But Jesus ain't going to never stop working on you. I'm telling you, when I wouldn't pay child support, I thought the Lord was through with me because I had been sentenced to 6 months in the Detroit House of Corrections in 1978. I thought Jesus was through with me. I was a three-year-old preacher, and already I'm fired. But once I confessed that I should have paid my child support, the Lord forgave me and took 8 days to clean that mess up. But anyway, during the 8 days that I was there in the Detroit House of Corrections, he started elevating me and this other preacher who had to learn how to pray. Two preachers. One was working in the warden's house, and I was running the yard office. Preachers who don't pay child support, both of us in jail. Anyway, we started having Bible classes. We started having prayer meetings. And then we made plans to open up a church, and Satan kicked us out of jail. That was so kind of funny to me how I've been kicked out of a lot of things, but I have never been kicked out of jail. I've been in jail 2-3 times, but I ain't never been kicked out other than when I went to the Detroit House of Correction. Don't even exist no more. But when I went there, Satan kicked me out. You know why? Jesus was working on me. He's been working on you. He's been working on me. He's been working on us ever since we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And he's not going to stop working on us. He's trying to turn us into his forever little brothers and sisters. You heard Deacon Charles Tate read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Then God will call us his children, his sons, and his daughters. But he's trying to separate us from those things that we should be, amen, unevenly yoked with, shouldn't be. And he calls us out. Amen. I ain't through, but I'm going to quit. I pray to the Lord. My prayer to God is that you allow Jesus to have his way with you. And here's one bit of warning I want to give you. The next time you go to putting your mouth on a Christian who might not be living right, who might have given their life to Christ, but they ain't walking right, okay, be careful. And you get permission from Jesus to work with him if he wants to use you to help them straighten their life out. Because every single time you criticize another Christian about their foul living, well, guess who you criticizing? Jesus, because he the one working on them. Are you telling Jesus he ain't doing a good enough job? Are you telling Jesus he need to speed it up? Are you trying to instruct the Lord? So be careful with that, brothers and sisters. Look, when I became a pastor, I asked the Lord, you want me to be a pastor? How do I know what to teach these people? How do I know where they are in you? He said, well, pay attention to them. Just like I paid attention to my disciples. Each one of them was different. Set them right where they were. And I started dealing with them right there. And that's what I do at Run for Christ Ministries. I don't judge members who skip church, don't go to Bible class, don't get no tithes and offerings. I just that just tells me where they are. And that just tells me what I need to do as a pastor, as a church, what kind of teaching programs we need to get people from where they are to where God's trying to take them. He's trying to take you to who you're going to be forever. So stop trying to fix up only your temporary life, and that's you working on you trying to fix that. Let Jesus work on you, and he'll fix both of them. He'll fix your temporary and eternal life. Amen. I'm through. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today that you've been working on us ever since we gave ourselves to Jesus. You've been our Father. You've been our teacher. You even told us down here, don't even call nobody Father, for we got one Father. We have one master teacher, one rabbi, and his name is Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, Lord, just like you said in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide us into all truth. He won't speak of his own. He will take from me and show it to you. And we know, Jesus, you got it from the Father. You give it to the Holy Spirit. He gives it to us. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to turn ourselves into who we're going to be forever. But you are turning us into those people who say. You're trying to help us to become God's children, people who say to mountains, move, and they move. People who say to the dead, rise up, and they rise up. People who say to the sick, be healed, and they get healed. You're trying to teach us, Jesus. You told the man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he went and washed, and he could see, just like you said. And you're trying to teach us to be the people who say. You're trying to turn us into who we're going to be forever. But we keep trying to be temporary. But I know you ain't going to stop working on us. And you know just how to get around us, to turn us into who we're going to be forever. Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day that we get to come home and be with you forever. Whether you come get us personally, like you said over there in John chapter 14, you said over there that you was going away to get a place ready for us, and you was coming back to get us so we could be with you where you at. If you come get us that way individually, we're ready. Lord, if you come and get your whole church, like you said in Matthew 24 and 14, you said when you see all these things, and when the word of God has been preached everywhere you want it preached, then will the end of the church age come. So, Jesus, we have stuff to look forward to. But while we're here, work on us, Jesus. Help us to become God's little children. Help us to be your little brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that nothing we can do and nothing nobody says about us will ever stop you from working on us. You're going to love us. And I thank you that you didn't make it nobody's job to work on us, because people get mad at us, Jesus. They get through with us. We might not get right enough quick. We might not walk tight enough for them. But you greet us with a smile every single morning. And you know, unbeknownst to us, but you know every single day just how much you're going to grow us in that day. Just how much you're going to show us in that day. Oh, we love you, Jesus. You make this Christian life just way too easy. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that's the devil. And we don't have to worry about him. Jesus, I can't even picture you letting the devil tell you anything about us. He has to get permission from you to come bug us in any way, shape, or form. And if you allow him to come just like you allowed him to come at Job, you had worked on Job so well, even though his knowledge was totally limited. You worked on him so well, he tore the devil up. No matter what his friends said about him, no matter what little young Elihu said to him, he didn't listen to none of them. He just waited on you. Help us to wait on you, Lord. Help us to serve while you transform us with your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Hey, we didn't have communion on yesterday. And before Crystal comes with the announcements, I want to give you a second to go and find something liquid that represents the blood of Jesus and find something that represents the bread of Jesus. And then we'll have communion today. So this is the first Sunday. Amen. I can't wait until first Sunday in August when we can have communion in church. Amen. That's just going to be awesome. Lord, say the same. And we actually get to go back and no other shoe drop, but we just get to go back. Amen. I've been watching other churches and seeing the folks getting back in and if they're having any outbreaks. And so far, even after, we'll know about 15 days into June if anything happened from June 1st to the 15th. Amen. But things are looking good, and I believe that God is about to let us come back home. Amen. Come back in the house and do some communion and church serving there, and then I can get back to standing in back of the church and just hollering, you know, amen. Oh, can't do that, baby. Holy Ghost, baby. Holy Ghost, say, okay, by now you should have something that symbolizes the bread, something that symbolizes the blood. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Let us all eat together. And in the same manner, he took the cup and said, this is my blood, a sign of the new covenant that God is making with all mankind. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show respect or remembrance for, commemorate, memorialize my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again. Let us all drink together. Amen. I am not finna sing a hymn. Crystal might, but I ain't.
She will
I'm
not.
Out.
She will not. No, she will not.
What can I sing of her?
No, we can't sing a hymn or a her today. Let the praise team get themselves together, then we can all sing together and sound great because the praise team will be holding the rest of us up who can't sing.
Ooh, amen, amen,
Lord,
amen.
Mercy, I need you to bring your heart rate all the way down because let me tell you something. I didn't get a chance to speak on your altar call yesterday. I was on my way taking Amir to work, and all the slow songs you were playing, Amir was like, is Pastor depressed? I said, no, baby, he's not depressed, but he probably got some stuff on his heart. And so then when Cat said you was coming on do altar call, I said, oh, Lord Jesus. And then I heard you do altar call. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Pastor, you know, to be a pastor and to just have to go to the Lord about not just yourself and your family and the things that pertain just to you, that is a really, really, really heavy burden to be praying about people and things everywhere, all over the place, you know, and then for you to come on today and just preach the word that you preach it, like you gave us Christian history and you gave us practical application of how the word of God is still alive and how Jesus is still alive and how God is still sovereign and holy and on the throne and how everything in his word that was written so long ago still applies to our life today. And then you gave us practical application for the future and to know that God is always working on us, not that he done worked on us and we done, he done set us on the shelf, but that he is going to continue to work on us until we go home. I mean, you did a lot in the last 2 days. Like, I don't even know. Then your heart rate, I'm like, Jesus, pass me the vacation or something because he's just about to preach the last breath he got. I mean, just so powerful. And when you give us the word, you give it with such passion and such fire that we can't help but to believe what you're saying because we know that the word of God is in you and you are so full. So like you asked us the other day, to pray for you because you got about 12 sermons in your head and we need to make sure we pray so you can keep it all together. Well, you sure enough kept it together today and we got a wonderful, wonderful word from you. I'm going to let you go ahead and chill out. I'm going to go into these announcements so you can get your heart rate down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I done got about 5 text messages.
I know. Just go on and relax. I'm going to do these announcements. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It is a Sunday in June, June the 6th. And as always, we are so happy to have all of you who tune into our Sunday morning worship service. We're so glad to have you. All those who are old listeners who've been listening, all of you who are new listeners, we're so happy to have you. We always, of course, want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, so Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, who, if, by the way, you did not hear his sermon yesterday, please go back and listen to his sermon. I think Pastor Tay yesterday, Pastor Terrence, I don't even think he had a clock nowhere around him yesterday, because he preached that word and he was going like the inner Jizer Bundy. So if you did not hear his sermon yesterday, please go back and listen. Also, we don't want to leave out Pastor Janine Foth and, of course, Minister John McFall. We're so grateful for all of our shepherds and leaders at Running for Christ Ministries. We are truly, truly grateful and truly blessed. So Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And so we thank Pastor O today for being that messenger of good news, preaching to us and teaching to us the word of God, and not just to us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. What a blessing. So just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Charles Mackey will be finishing in his teaching of 1 Chronicles chapters 25 through 29. The questions have been emailed, and they are available for you to access on our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio, preaching and teaching in his series Training Day. So make sure to set yourself a reminder each week for 4 p.m. on Tuesdays to tune in to that. Also, the fourth Wednesday of every month, so this month, June 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth Wednesday for us will be June the 23rd. From now until the month of November, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, you're more than welcome to do so, is out in front of the bus stop at Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles, giving out lunches and things like that, having conversation, Christian conversation with people, just trying to see where people are and just trying to get people back to Christ. So if you're able to come out on the fourth Wednesday this month for us, it will be June the 23rd, out in front of Run for Christ Ministries at the bus stop, beginning around 10:30 a.m. for setup. Please make it out. Amen? Amen. So as a new announcement, we announced this last week, but we're going to keep announcing it because it is important. Amen. Our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be launching her very own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. So Back to the Family will discuss the deteriorating condition of the family today and explore biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So her first show, will be launching on Saturday, June the 19th at 4 p.m., and the topic of discussion is an intro to Back to the Family. And so the second show will continue on Sunday, June the 20th at 4 p.m., which is Father's Day, and the topic of discussion on that day will be celebrating fathers and their importance. Amen. So Saturday, June the 19th is the first show at 4 p.m. It's an intro to Back to the Family, and then the second show will continue on into Sunday, June the 20th at 4 p.m., which is Father's Day, and the topic of discussion on that day is celebrating fathers and their importance. And we know that fathers, as far as God's order is concerned, are the heads of the family. And so I really find it awesome how we're starting this on Father's Day, speaking about fathers to lay the groundwork for how this should go. And so, we're really excited for this. We congratulate Kathy on her accomplishment. And so, of course, Run for Christ Ministries family, Blog Talk Radio family, let's make sure to be supportive of our sister in Christ and make sure to tune in. Again, the first show is on June the 19th at 4 p.m. and then continuing on Saturday, June the 20th. The link to the show is already listed on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Amen? Amen. So let's make sure to support and tune in. As a reminder, all of our classes and our services, of course, on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and FREE free. So just visit rfcm.org, church website, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of our classes and services 24/7, 365, all for free. Download them for yourself and make sure to share them with others. Amen. If you would like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, the church website, rfcm.org, is the place to go. You'll find all the information listed there. Amen. In addition to this, if you'd like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought the word to us today, please visit his website, PastorGMO.com, PastorGodsMyOwner.com, and send your love offering via his website. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. So we have been commanded to seek the Lord in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, when we're talking all circumstances, we're talking all. Pastor preached today about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. And, you know, when we think we're going through something, chances are none of us has ever gone through that. You know what I'm saying? So they were singing praises to God at midnight, talking about giving thanks in all circumstances. Amen. So that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we ask that you pray for those who are sick, who are shut in, who are incarcerated, who are just lost, whatever the case may be. Make sure you pray for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Everybody needs prayer. Pray for our kids, our nation, our world, our leaders, the many missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are being persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Amen. Special prayers always go out to our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Reverend Richard Overall. I think his estates have been confiscated. I did see a picture about that. So keep him in prayer as he recuperates, as well as Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, as I said, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, your community today, Samaria, outside of your community today, and to the ends of the earth, communities where you didn't even think exist. Well, you know what? They also need the word of the Lord, and it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So when you are sad, brokenhearted over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. Amen. So we need one another, okay, in order to become our true selves and to bring glory to God through the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. John chapter 13, verse 35, we're a family after all, a family that spans the entire earth, okay? So we need one another. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. We know that a smile or a kind word goes a long way, but the gift of love is free. So take time out. I know it's sunny outside. It is where I am. But take time out to be sunny in somebody else's world today. Okay, you never know who you're touching when you do things like that. So as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but that will be changing soon. As Pastor said, Lord willing, we will be back together physically in the house of the Lord. But we are together in spirit, and as we always have been. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, I also tell you this. If two of you here on earth agree, wait a minute, let me go back. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, there we go. My Father in heaven will do it for you, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning to praise God. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen? Amen. And so I usually don't do this on Sunday. Y'all know how we do about bus days on Saturday. We got order. But today is a really special day. Why, you may ask? Well, that's because two wonderful, amazing people at Running for Christ Ministries are celebrating their birthdays on today. So Mother Cheryl Hamilton and our sister Keela Freeman are having birthdays and celebrating right now as we speak. Amen. So Running for Christ Ministries, y'all know what to do. Reach out, give them well wishes, show them love, tell them happy birthday, cash app them some money, take them out to eat. Do whatever you need to do so that they feel special on their day. So happy, happy birthday. Much love to Mother Cheryl Hamilton, as well as our sister in Christ, Keela Freeman. Amen. Amen. And today's devotional for you is entitled A Prayer to Keep Pressing Forward, and it's by Alicia Headley. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Have you ever wondered how the Apostle Paul wrote such profound words in today's scripture verse? Nothing but spirit-breathed confidence in Christ could cause a man with such a past as Paul to pen such beautiful words of forward-looking redemption. Before he went by the name Paul, he was referred to as the imprisoned Saul. Paul was a murderer before he wrote almost half of the New Testament book. Not only was he a murderer, but he was a murderer of Christians. This was a man who murdered those that served the Christ that he would one day spend the rest of his days following and committed to. His name change matched his soul change after his conversion. I can't help but wonder if this is where today's verse derives from. Paul had a choice. He could live in guilt and condemnation in his old identity, or he could choose to accept his new identity in Christ. He chose to take off the label from his past and partner with God in his kingdom work. And what a glorious work he did, helping build out the church and spreading the gospel behind and ahead. Although he ended up playing an impacting role in preaching the good news, I imagine he wrestled with these memories from the past and wished a million times he didn't do these things of which he was guilty. And therefore, he wrote a scripture verse that can be true to us today for those of us that are holding on to labels from our past mistakes and failures. The verse emphasizes to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Paul chose to own his past and turn his mess of a past into some of the greatest messages in the Bible. God never erased his story. He authored it for a purpose, an unbelievable purpose. He can do this, our story too. Let's take this as a reminder to choose to remember that God is bigger than any labels from our past. Paul's story, like ours, is a representation of the gospel. Through the same love and forgiveness, we can use our stories for a beautiful, redemptive purpose too. Amen. So let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a God of not just second chances, but never-ending chances, that you are a God of love and forgiveness, that you don't want us to live in our past forever. Your word says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, that we know that all things work together for the good of those that are called according to your purpose. Lord, we ask that you turn all our past to our purpose for your kingdom. We choose to be obedient to you and partner with you. As you invest your heavenly purpose in us, may we be your earthly vessels and used by you just as Paul was. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Paul in the Bible, for someone who chose to rid himself of his former identity and walk in his new identity in you. For we are a new creation in you. The old things have passed away, and the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Thank you, Father, that you are the author of our lives, and you can turn our past into our purpose. We worship you and praise you for you. We worship you and praise you for you look at us and all you have overcome in us and still see the beauty you created. There we go. Use us, Lord, just like Paul, as instruments in your hand for whatever purpose you have chosen us to be and to become. We love you and choose to follow you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And those are your announcements.
You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with you and June, but I thank God for both of y'all. Jesus used you to put the icing on the cake and used June to guide me which way to go because I was kind of mixed up and the Lord said, there you go. Those three words, I belong and grace and peace. And now let's pray. Amen. Chrissy, you're something else. You know you are.
I know. I'm something else, right?
Awesome. I'm telling you. I'm always amazed at what God is doing with y'all, though. I really am. And so thankful.
Me too.
So be blessed. Tell Mira I say what's
amen.
Up.
I shall. Amen.
Tell him I ain't depressed. Jesus was getting me set up.
I said, baby, he all right. I said, but these slow songs are killing me. I said, he all right. I said, he's the Holy Spirit of God, so it's all good.
Yeah, so, I had no idea what was coming. I just knew
of
that
course.
I had to pray. I knew 3 days out, but I had no idea the Spirit was going to touch my heart like that. But anyway,
that's probably
why he didn't tell me.
Right, because you've been like, no, somebody else got to pray.
Exactly. I definitely, I'm a delegator, so Jonathan would have been right up.
Right.
All right, Crystal, love you. Be blessed.
Hey, man, love you too. You too.
Hey, man, thank God for each and every one of you and pray that you allow the Lord to have his way with you. He is working on you and he's not going to stop. Okay, don't listen to what people think about you because your Christian life might be a little janky. Don't worry about that. Jesus is the one that's working on you. And guess what? Jesus knew you would be right where you are in your maturity stage. Remember what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that God set aside some work for us to do before we were born. He had predetermined things for us before we were born, just like he did for Jeremiah. And that's the same way he has done for each and every one of us. Amen. All you have to do, it's better to be obedient. Amen. Read the word and then live the word. and let the Lord worry about the rest. And every time you make a mistake, every time you fall down, you know how when you're writing something and you mess up? See, I write a lot, and I mess up. Listen to this. You hear this? I just ripped off a piece of paper, balling it up, throwing it away, and I'm going to start writing again. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. If you want some more of those historical facts that you heard me talking about, you know, while I was listening to Crystal, Jesus was telling me, how long you been studying Christian history? And I told him several years. He said, well, you started studying Christian history in the 90s. And you wrote the book in 2015. Amen. So get the book. I wrote the book because I got a lot of other Christian books, and they're really thick, and there's so much information in them. But it really don't take all that. For most folks who are sitting in the pew, they don't have that much time because they work 8 hours or more all week long. They're busy, okay? So the Lord had me to write a book, Jesus Christ, the church that Jesus built from AD 30 to our present day. And not everything is in it that happened in Christian history, but there's more than enough in there to bring you up to speed on watching the Lord go through history. If all you have is the knowledge of the Lord in the Bible, then you have absolutely no knowledge at all of what happened after AD 61, because that's when the Bible closes, except Revelation, of course, okay, which takes us to the right to the end, right? But you miss, this is what you're missing. From your knowledge of God stops at AD 61, and that's it. All you know is what's in the Bible. You don't know what God did in the first 100 years of Christianity. You don't know where Jesus was or what he did in the year 400 or, say, the year 1500. What does this date mean to you, 1517? If those dates mean nothing to you, okay, 1526, 1881, if those dates mean nothing to you, get my book. It's not convoluted. It's super simple to read. Because I'm super simple, so it's super simple. That's probably why he picked me. Amen. But get the book, read it, and see God go through history. And I'm telling you, your faith is going to go through the roof. And a whole lot of this stuff that people are calling brand new is old as dirt. Okay? I'm telling you, it's as old as the dirt in Eden. So, amen. It's not like Solomon said, he figured it out. There's nothing new under the sun. So get it. And watch Jesus march through history. And then you'll better understand all that stuff I was saying in the beginning of the sermon about Paul writing to these people when they're going through a horrible time. We're going through some horrible times, a pandemic. We haven't had one of these since 1918, the influenza pandemic. Well, we've got a pandemic going on right now. Over 600,000 people have died, and millions across the world have been infected. But in spite of all of that, the Lord has not stopped working on us. He's still getting us ready for what old folks say. Let me get in there and say something before you close. Old folks say he's getting us ready, getting up morning. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let the church say amen.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He He's right there when we call. In Him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only He can save my life, and only He can hear my cry. I wanna sing it all day.
Gave me your love.